T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hill, author, natural health expert, producer.
Take two. So we got to have the mannequin model
that
joke.
Didn't work the first time.
Okay, so we can skip that.
We can skip that.
So this is our second time doing this show.
It has something to do with digestion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a problem with our recording device. Like halfway through our show, it just died. Mm. And Kenna thinks it was probably a digestive issue.
That or sugar.
Yeah, right. That's probably usually what to blame. So we're going to try and say exactly what we said on the last show, and we don't have anything to compare it to because that other show is gone.
It's in the ether somewhere. Could we get it back in a cloud? I mean, is it in a cloud?
Most things are in a cloud today.
Yeah.
I just don't know where they keep the cloud.
Oh, me neither. And that laughter to my left, that is Hottie Patati Will Schmidt. I said something about him being dark yesterday.
I was dark.
Sun tan.
You were brown.
Yeah.
Tan.
But today he's much lighter.
You think?
No, he's still dark.
Wow. Do you remember anything else we said?
A lot of words.
Audible.com.
Audible.com. Which reminds me, remember when we didn't have a sponsor?
Audible.
Well, that was silly. So now Audible.com has given all of our listeners a free audiobook of their choice just because we say Audible.com.
Audible.com.
To find the link, go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook.
I remember what else we said. It was that this show is sponsored by Kenna because this was her idea.
Yeah.
This was Kenna's idea.
And you said something about me being brilliant, if
yeah,
I remember.
I think I did, but we didn't record that, so that's gone forever.
Right. That's never coming back, that I can pretend. Throw in your
but
face.
But I remember the part you were going to donate your day's wages to our lunch.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to have a very good lunch, are we? We're
like
hitting the 7-Eleven today, y'all.
So Kenna's idea was that we should focus on
me.
We should focus on Kenna during the show.
That's what I like. It's
we
all
should
about me.
Focus on each imbalance, since when we talk about issues that are caused by specific imbalances, we usually point people to the books or our free digestion course.
You have to go
course.
Read a whole darn book just to find out about an imbalance.
Right.
I mean, that's got to be maddening.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah,
it's right.
A lot. I just wanted to know what this term meant.
They want, like, instant
gratification.
Well, hey, I've been here 7 years and I still don't know.
You still don't know what beet flow is.
I don't even know what beet flow
that's
is.
That's a personal problem.
I think calcium is Bio-C.
Yeah. Right.
Is it?
No.
No, okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of dig deep into today. We're going to do electrolyte deficiency, and we're going to talk about it a whole bunch. And you're going to, by the time we're done, you're going to really understand it. But then we can use that episode to kind of point people, well, hey, I want to learn more about that.
Yeah, so Tony just gave it away. We're talking about electrolyte deficiency.
Well, you can say some other words if you want. If I blew your big moment,
that's all right.
He's just trying to.
Thing keeps
he's trying to slowly work you out of
this.
He's trying to phase me out little by little. Hey,
this is probably what Kenan would normally say.
I'm here with T.C. Hale and something else and Hottie Patati.
I'm sure our 11 listeners would love that too.
Right.
Get rid of the chick.
You can talk about Facebook. I'll let you do
that. Yeah. Well, you know, if you haven't joined us or liked us on Facebook yet, what is the problem? That's where you're going to find out what topics we're going to be doing for the next week's show, and then you can post your questions. You can even give us ideas for topics because we're running out, frankly.
Did you see what we hit today? We hit over 200,000
fans.
Whoa. That's amazing how you rigged that. How did
90%?
He is sitting there hitting like a bunch of times.
You just make up all profiles computers. All day long.
90% of the accounts that is Amber.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's Amber's
pseudonyms.
Birthday.
Yeah. Amber Jenner, Amber
Geddon.
Oh, yeah,
it was Amber's
Remember
birthday
we said
yesterday, but we'll say it again.
Amber, yesterday we sang a whole song. We had a barbershop quartet here, and they sang
in,
to
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
We had some of those Spanish guys with the little bitty guitars come in, whatever
right?
they are.
We wanted to celebrate Amber's birthday in big style, but that recording's gone, so now we just say happy birthday.
Happy birthday. You got happy birthday, and you'll have to hear it 2 weeks from now.
Right. So that's kind of how that works out. So before we get into electrolyte deficiency, what I wanted to do was...
Oh, that list again.
Yeah, it's fun. So,
but can you read it this time like it's one of those pharmaceutical commercials where it's real,
I'll try it, yeah.
real quick and as like polite and non-complacent as they can slip them in?
Okay. Right. Polite and quick.
Yeah.
Like your butt may fall off.
Yeah.
So what we did...
Swill your britches.
So that people can understand all of the issues that can be created by an electrolyte deficiency. We went through all of our old episodes, and we have like over 65 of them. We're professional.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Everybody's just looking at me. we have a whole bunch of episodes anyways.
Yeah.
So we went through the 65 and we made a list of everything that is either most commonly caused by an electrolyte deficiency or it can be a contributing factor to that issue. Now, when you hear these symptoms or conditions, that doesn't mean they are caused by an electrolyte deficiency because a lot of them can have more than one underlying cause. But I just want Kenna to read through these real with her fast talk voice just okay. So you can get an idea of a lot of the issues that can be created.
Insomnia, the cold... Let's start over. Insomnia, the common cold, constipation, acid reflux, heartburn and GERD, cravings and binge eating, depression, anxiety and panic attacks, migraines and chronic headaches, IBS, Crohn's and colitis, how to quit smoking, early menopause, food sensitivities and food allergies, ADD, ADHD, stress, cold sores, canker sores, chronic fatigue syndrome, osteoporosis, vertigo and dizzy spells, bipolar disorder, nausea, female hair loss, eating disorders, back pain, restless leg syndrome, food addictions, fat loss plateaus, ED or lousy sex drive, autoimmune issues, laryngitis, addiction, hypoglycemia, emotionally unstable kids, OCD, PMS, menstrual cramps, skin, hair and nail health, trouble gaining weight, postpartum depression, cellulite, and credit card debt. Oh, that's just my list. Okay.
So that's a lot of stuff that can be caused by one imbalance. And a lot of those things...
Sucks, people.
A lot of those things suck.
Yeah.
Like, they're not fun to have those things.
Look at me. I'm a mess.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Walking billboard of mess. So what we want to do is just kind of explain what makes this come about and what people can do about it. And we kind of breeze over it when we're talking about, like, a specific issue. But we'll get into some deeper stuff today, and we'll get into some questions, too. So first, I think yesterday we had Will explain...
He's looking forward to this.
Uh-huh. Just say all the stuff he said yesterday. So what we want to look at is, how do I tell if I have an electrolyte deficiency, what does that mean?
Please use the word liberate, because I always love it when you say liberate.
Gotcha. Right. So the biggest common culprits that contribute to or cause electrolyte deficiency are weak digestion, unstable blood sugar, and deficiency of minerals in the diet. Other common contributing factors include like excessive sweating and loss of hydration, loss of salts.
If somebody's sweating out all their minerals.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Like you're doing a hot yoga every day or something like that.
Right.
So when we are looking at electrolyte deficiency states and trying to figure out if you're in one or not, the best way to do that is to look at your blood pressure by using a little blood pressure cuff. You can go to a pharmacy and do it for free. Usually they have like a little device. You can sit down and push the button, or you can buy one and take it home and then do it at the comfort of your own home, which is probably better because you'll get a more accurate reading a lot of the times when you're in the comfort of your own home.
Right, because if you go to the...
not comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, if your home is not comfortable, that's a... You got to go to somebody else's home, but don't tell them that you're there.
Yeah. Which would also be uncomfortable.
Hang out in their closet. Right.
But people freak out when they go to the doctor because they think the doctor is going to tell them that they have an extra limb growing out of their ear and they need to have their ear removed. So they're just stressed, and so that can adjust what their blood pressure reading is. So when they're looking at the reading, what are they looking at and what tells them what?
Yeah, so there's usually three numbers that they'll get. The systolic and diastolic are the blood pressure numbers that'll come up. So the systolic is the number on the top, and you want that number to be around 120. And the diastolic is the number beneath that, and you want that to be around 80. But if you're electrolyte deficient, then your blood pressure is probably closer to somewhere around like 113 over 73 or lower than that.
Right.
So if your top number is much lower than 113, that's an indication of an electrolyte deficiency. If the bottom number is below 73, that's an indication. And then we also we see a lot of the time, not always, but a lot of times a low pulse also in electrolyte deficient people.
And when we're looking at blood pressure, what is in that blood pressure? What are we looking at when we look at a number, a blood pressure number?
Yeah, well, it's a dynamic number, but some of the main contributing constituents of blood pressure are the amount of water and hydration in your system, the amount of salts. Like, there's all these different electrolytes, which are technically salts, like there's 19 different minerals, but a lot of them are like sodium and chloride and magnesium and potassium and calcium. These are all electrolytes that contribute to it, as well as blood sugar. And sugar also holds electrolytes in the bloodstream, like in suspensions or electromagnetically. So those will be the main contributing factors to the pressure inside your cardiovascular system, the water, the sugar, and the salts.
Those are the big players, and then some of the smaller ones can be even protein and even junk and filth and waste that are toxins that have not been removed. So all those things count.
So you said something about like yoga and sweating it out if you're like electrolyte deficient and stuff. So like Bikram yoga would be absolutely out of the question if you know you have that issue.
Yeah, it'd be a really bad idea.
Yeah. Like other workouts that make you really sweat.
It's a really counterintuitive thing, especially if you're at all into like the holistic health hippie health culture, which is my home, like where I come from. Like a lot of people think like, oh, if you're not feeling well, you should do a juice cleanse and do a lot of hot yoga and take salt baths and colonics and like all of those things.
They're going to
super wipe you out. Yeah.
So how do you do that if it's like you have to work out because our bodies, we have to do cardio or whatever for our hearts and keep our bodies strong for osteoporosis and stuff. So how do you
it's the same as drinking water. So we know that you have to drink water to be healthy.
Yeah.
You have to qualify to drink that water. And just like working out hard, right?
You have to pay your taxes.
Yeah, you have to pay taxes and you have to register or something.
Right.
Then you can drink water. All the long list of issues that you read at the beginning of the show, and you also read on the beginning of the show yesterday when we tried to record the show then.
I did it better yesterday. Too bad we don't have that one.
I liked it better today.
But that long list is all about issues that come about from a lack of resources in the body. The body doesn't have everything it needs to function properly, and we see malfunction. And we see all these issues like, you know, depression and anxiety. And all these things come about, ADD. Because there's not enough resources for everything to function correctly. So if you're already low in resources and you're going to go in a sweat box and sweat out the small amount of resources you have, you're going to come out a nut bar.
Yeah. You can still exercise, and it's probably even still a good idea a lot of the time to exercise. You would just want to try to minimize the amount of salts that you lose during exercise. So like if you go do like a little bit of like circuit training and weights and stuff, and you get a good workout in and you tone your body and you stimulate like, you know, a muscle growth or muscle toning response and your metabolism, you can do that effectively without also being in like a 110 degree room for an hour and a half where you primarily are just losing salts. So
maybe be having some mineral trace drops or something in your water as you work out.
Yeah, and do like maybe a shorter workout might be more appropriate for you, one that's more like challenges the actual muscle and metabolic like demand on the tissue of like the work that you're doing, as opposed to like very low intensity, long duration where you're not really challenging your muscles that much, but you are losing a lot of salt because you're in a hot yoga room or something like that.
Right. So usually when someone learns this information and they learn that they have an electrolyte deficiency, it's not very common that they were taking steps to improve that deficiency. They probably were not taking steps to improve digestion. They probably were not conscious to eating more nutrient-dense foods. They probably were not using a lot of sea salt or mineral drops. There's a lot of things there that a person can do and see some improvement almost in the first week for a lot of people. Not everybody, but for a lot of people, they'll see improvement in the first week. And that can kind of help a person judge, okay, I feel better, so I'm going to go and try and work out, or I'm going to, you know, I love doing sauna, so I'm going to go do a little bit of a sauna. And if they go back to feeling horrible again, they know that they didn't quite qualify for that, and they need to do more steps longer to kind of build up that reserve before they start tackling that working out harder and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think some of the main things, I kind of touched on them at once, but there's just so many factors. I want to reiterate the main problems or the main reasons why people are in an electrolyte deficient state. We talked, you wanted me to use the word liberate, and that brings us back to digestion. So we talked about losing salts through excess exercise, and we talked about you can benefit by adding more salts, like actual salt or trace mineral drops to your water. But the foundation for most people of correcting this problem is correcting their digestive strength. So you'll feel some, like you just said, Tony, some people feel a lot better when they just add a little more salt to their diet and it picks them up. But for a lot of people, it's going to be a little bit longer route to get fully corrected because they have to do the work of strengthening their digestion. So restoring
with acid and bile, make sure those are both.
Right. So our free digestive issues course talks about how to do that in detail. But the main things you need to know is you need to have strong stomach acid so you can break down your proteins and sterilize your food. You need to have good bile flow so you can break down your fats. And you need to have both of those happening so that when the food leaves the stomach and gets all acidified and then the bile hits it, there's a chemical explosion where the food, the nutrients are liberated.
Arriba, arriba,
right, so that acid-base collision of the stomach acid and the alkaline bile from the gallbladder collide, and that's where most of the nutrients get liberated and get contributed to your bloodstream. So if you don't have both of those things happening in your digestion, then you're not going to get most of the nutrition out of the food that you're eating. And you're also not going to be able to maintain stable blood sugar, which is directly impacts your blood pressure. Because if you don't have both of those things going in your digestion, then you're going to be primarily relying on carbohydrates for energy, which is like a unstable fuel source, or you're riding this roller coaster of high and low blood sugar. And what you would be better is if you could use the slow burning proteins and fats that your body can just draw from and store and create glycogen and blood sugar out of whenever it needs it. So you can maintain very stable blood sugar and with that stable blood pressure. Because if your sugar is up and down, your blood pressure is going to be up and down, and you're going to be dealing with this electrolyte deficient problem.
And, you know, that reminded me that what I wanted to say at the beginning of the show was, and if this recording doesn't work, we'll have another shot to
just do it again.
Yeah,
show tomorrow.
Just do over and over until we become perfect.
But it's important when you test your blood pressure, and you want to do it at least 2 hours after eating, because if you test your blood pressure right after you ate and you had, you know, a bowl of Lucky Charms and some side of granola, all those carbs are going to turn to sugar in your bloodstream, and that's going to lift your blood pressure because your blood pressure is made up of minerals, sugars, proteins, junk. So if you just ate a bunch of carbs, your blood pressure is going to be higher, and you'd be like, "Ooh, yeah, I'm awesome. I got a great blood pressure." But then 2 hours later, it's 99 over 60. Mm. So it's important when you test. So remember to keep that factored in. So poor digestion is the most common cause for electrolyte deficiency imbalance, but the amount of water that you drink can contribute too. And we do see a lot of people that, you know, drink 8 glasses of water every day, like, you know, the doctor told me, and they're doing that even though they don't qualify to do that, and they're just kind of wiping out all the mineral that they have. So that's an important factor. What are other things that we didn't cover diuretics yet?
No, we didn't.
A lot of people are doing things that cause the body to pee out a lot of minerals.
Yeah, so if you're doing like a lot of stimulants like coffee or caffeine based things that, or even some medications can also cause you to pee out a lot of your fluids and electrolytes. And with that, like if you have low just blood volume because you're losing a lot of water from those things, then you're also going to usually have low blood pressure. And that also brings us to the whole anabolic imbalance where we've talked about in other shows. With the anabolic imbalance, there's a lot of things that what that means to be too anabolic, but how it relates to this is when you're too anabolic, most of the water that you consume, whether it's water you drank or fluid in the food that you ate, most of that water is going to be filtered out through your kidneys and you're going to pee it out, as opposed to a nice even balance.
You'll liberate that water.
Yeah, you'll liberate it out through your urethra. But too much of that water goes through your kidneys and not enough of it goes through the colon. So you'll have less water flow through your intestinal tract. And that usually leads to like constipation issues, because you need a steady stream of fluid going that direction, or else it becomes like a stagnant swamp.
Right, but even if it doesn't create constipation for that person for one reason or another, in that overly anabolic state with more water going through the kidneys, it's also causing more minerals to go out of the system that through that pathway. So even if a person isn't drinking too much water, in that overly anabolic state, they could be peeing out too much stuff, and that may be causing the electrolyte deficiency, or at least be a contributing factor.
Yeah.
I have the title for your first book.
What?
Liberate.
Liberation.
Or Liberation, there you go. Yeah.
Okay, great.
it's such a strong word.
It is a really strong word.
It really gives you a vivid, in my mind, every time you say it, I can just see people like, you know.
Right. Great. Great. But and some of those markers you can look at to see, like, oh, am I losing too much water because I'm too anabolic? Might be like, if you have to wake up at night to pee a lot, and you're like, I don't get it. Like, I can't sleep through the night. Or if your urine pH is really high, like if it's over 6.5, that's another pretty strong indication you might be too anabolic.
Poor Sybil, her mom kept telling her to hold her water, but she couldn't. I remember that. No,
nope, before my time.
Before your time.
Yeah, I'm too young to understand what you're talking about. I'm just a little whippersnapper. So diabetics are big. We see a lot of people like, oh, I'm using turmeric for inflammation, but turmeric is a diuretic and causes you to pee out minerals just like coffee does. So that doesn't mean you can't drink coffee if you have an electrolyte deficiency. You just have to be aware that it's going to make you pee out more, and you're going to have to do more
shooting daggers at Tony.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm actually kind of at the point where I think, okay, I have to drop coffee and caffeine for a while.
It's tricky, too, because it's confusing. Because at first, like, if you're electrolyte deficient, you feel a boost.
It wakes me up. Yeah. It gets me going.
Because it does, like, in it activating your nervous system, that sympathetic state, it does raise your blood pressure, just like smoking. Like, also, it gives you a real lift. And if you looked at your blood pressure right after you had a cigarette or right after coffee, it is higher. So people feel better because of that. Because this is a vital, vital number to have your blood pressure be in a healthy range. The problem with it is, like, with coffee, there is it's a come down that goes beneath where you were before. So you have less electrolytes and you kind of threw off your metabolism with that. And with cigarettes, there's obvious detriment from just toxicity that builds up.
But with that cigarette analogy, maybe explain a little bit about the autonomic nervous system, and explain that when that vascular system is more open, that's going to bring down blood pressure. And that can be part of the situation for that individual that's creating the deficiency.
That's why quitting smoking was on that list.
Well, no, we put on this list because quitting smoking is
because
really
of electrolyte deficient. Because if you don't have enough, that's going to bring up your blood pressure, and you're going to feel better for a little while.
Right. Yeah. In that episode, we talked a lot about how it's really hard for someone to quit if they're electrolyte deficient, but if they can bring up their electrolytes, it becomes easier for them to quit.
Yeah. So people get chemically addicted from the additives, but also biochemically addicted because it's helping them in some parameter.
Right.
Not in a healthy way, but it is working. So when we're in that fight or flight state, we have a constriction of the vascular system, which gives less space for the blood to be, which makes it, there's more pressure on the blood. Like if you were holding a water balloon, squeeze it tight, like those parts where you squeeze, now there's more pressure on the lining, so we see a rise in blood pressure. And then the opposite can be true if you're in more of a parasympathetic state. The vascular system dilates or opens, so we see a lower blood pressure in people that are stuck in a parasympathetic imbalance, which can also be related to potentially to digestive issues and the body trying to focus on digestion can get you stuck in a parasympathetic state. So again, we look at correcting digestion is really paramount in fixing that.
Right. It could not only help you pull more minerals out of your food, but if you improve that overly parasympathetic state, it can constrict your vascular system a little bit to help lift that blood pressure.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad we all agree on that. I'm glad we didn't have to fight.
Right.
A fight about what?
Just what's right and what's wrong.
One other thing I want to say about, I don't know if
we just woke Kenna up. Yeah. We said fight.
There's a fight.
Liberate. But, my favorite word.
Am I Irish? I want to fight.
But one other thing that might not come up with questions that I've seen a lot that's confusing is when people think, oh, I don't have enough electrolytes. I just need to drink more electrolytes. And you'll see, I've seen a lot of like friends and clients and stuff that have put themselves on juice cleanses, and you would think that they would have like an abundance of electrolytes if you weren't thinking clearly. Mm-hmm. But it would seem like it would make sense because they're drinking electrolyte-rich vegetable juices and fruit juices and coconut water like all day long, and they might even be doing like salt flushes. So you'd mm-hmm. think they probably got a ton.
So let's take a break and have Kenna say words.
Okay. If you'd like to learn how to become a health coach or even just dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn about Tony and Will's course for coaches. Registration for this course only opens to the public for about a week at a time, so be sure to register for the coach newsletter so you'll be notified when the next registration opens. You'll find more info at healthprocourse.com.
That's coming pretty soon.
Cool.
Pretty
dun,
exciting.
Dun, dun, dun.
I really like that. So when we're looking at this, you know, blood sugar issue of the spike and fall, the hypoglycemia thing is really common with people with low blood pressure, because they're with the digestive issues that restrict their ability to process proteins and fats correctly. They kind of gravitate towards sugars. And then they have those sugars and they get that big spike and crash situation. So if they could raise their mineral levels a little bit, when the sugars crash, the higher minerals can kind of buffer the system so they don't fall apart or turn into a non-pleasant human being when they have those sugar crashes.
Yeah. And when you're doing like a juice cleanse or like the master cleanse where it's all just sugars, and even if there's tons of electrolytes in those fluids, if it's just sugar that you're consuming and you're not taking in any fats or proteins or digesting any of those, then it doesn't matter. Like, even if you're getting a ton of electrolytes with those juices, your blood pressure is usually still going to crash a lot because those electrolytes follow the sugars, and the salts will help buffer it. But if you don't have like stable proteins and fats to draw from, you're usually going to still run into low blood pressure issues.
Maybe we answer some questions.
All right. And talking about the your blood pressure maybe given a false read is also with medications.
Yeah, you know, especially if someone's on antidepressants or something, those tend to have the ability to restrict someone's ability to pee out their salts, and that will lift their blood pressure. And other medications can do that too, but you want to know you got to think about what kind of medications you're taking when you're looking at your blood pressure.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of clients just not need antidepressant or anti-anxiety meds after they fix the digestion and start taking salt drops. Just like the same week, like all of a sudden for the first time in like 5-10 years, they're just, oh, I don't need that anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
We're not telling you to stop taking your medications.
No, we're just saying you might not need them.
Yeah. That's between you and your doctor.
Okay. Kenna. Some girl named Kenna? Wow. Oh. From Tony's office.
That's very
wow,
close
that
to us.
Wow, that is very, that's a coincidence. Bring it. I can be a real biatch when I'm depleted and emotional, too. I snap out and overreact. What gives? I'm so sweet most of the time.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Kenna is always an exemplary individual wherever she goes. She's just the sweetest thing. She liberates joy for
uh-huh.
everyone.
Uh-huh. I pull small children from orphanages and I find them homes and liberate them.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, though, is that every time that Kenna asks me about, so I stabbed my husband in the forehead last night because he would not pass me the corn fast enough at the dinner table.
The sugar.
But whenever that is, it usually coincides with when things have not been going well with food or stuff like that. And so it's at least it usually makes sense.
Huh.
Huh.
I don't know if I'm agreeing with that one.
All right. Well, let's keep going. Maybe we'll learn more things.
Okay. All right. Karen from Billings, Montana. Do motion sickness and electro deficiency go hand in hand? I think they do.
I think they do, too.
I would say so.
Yeah. And what happens is issues like vertigo and motion sickness usually come about because there's not enough minerals for signals to travel efficiently from the brain to the body and back and forth. So already the person is a little bit fragile, but when you go and you shake them all about, now signals are even having a harder time.
And you turn them around.
Right. Then it causes that whole... One reason that a person might get nauseous is because digesting food takes more resources than just about anything that we do. So if something else is causing that body to be in this stressed state of, we don't have enough resources to deal with what's going on, let's just send the food back out of here so we don't have to deal with that right now. And that's why a lot of people will throw up from motion sickness. But they, you know, some people may just get dizzy and stuff like that. But that's usually a low resources thing.
All right. Michelle from Embler, Oregon. How does an electrolyte imbalance, not enough, affect my cardio conditioning? Have always pushed distance, but it is so painful now. Kind of what we were talking about, like particular workouts.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't have enough electrolytes to afford to be able to lose more because you're already on the brink of collapse.
And so I'm going to start telling Tony during the workout. I'm out of electrolytes.
I'm on the brink of collapse. Liberate me from the treadmill.
Yeah.
And also, I know Michelle, and this will make sense because she has a lot of issues that indicate that there's not enough calcium at the tissue level for her. She's having crampings and very frequent colds and stuff like that. So if you listen to our, cramp, I think we have a PMS or menstrual cramps episode.
And we have a whole book
about that.
Because we know a lot about that as men, authorities on the subject.
And I never get menstrual cramps, so you know that I know what I'm talking about. But what we're looking at is, in a situation where there's not enough resources in the body, the body will steal from tissues and even bones. It'll go in there and rob it. So as all of those minerals are pulled out of the tissue, those tissues don't have the ability to relax because calcium is needed in the tissues to relax. And then muscles can start to tighten up and cause cramping and pain. And the calcium that gets pulled out of the tissues can get deposited into joints and cause joint pain. So there's a lot of things that can go on, but you kind of look back at how that's all started from the electrolyte deficiency issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so if you're going to go into an activity where you're going to lose a lot of salts and you're spending a lot of energy doing intense workouts, you got to know, like, you want to go into that with ample resources. Like, try to buffer it by, like, extra electrolyte drinks, getting your digestion up, having very stable blood sugar going into that. And the better that you calibrate for that and the more electrolytes you have in reserve, the better, like, cardiovascular performance you're going to have.
So maybe drink some bone broth.
Bone broth is great.
Instead of Gatorade?
Yeah.
Is mutton-flavored Gatorade?
You can add some sugar to it to make it taste. No, but that would be good before a workout because then you're getting all those nutrients, right?
It's true. Yeah. It's true.
Right. And,
brilliance again.
No, you're right.
Yeah, brilliant again. And, you know, another thing to think about is if someone is overly anabolic and they're creating all that lactic acid when they work out, they're also creating too much lactic acid all the rest of the day if they're stuck in that anabolic state. You want to explain the fermentation thing?
Yeah. I mean, that also occurs when people have, like, just a low thyroid performance or if they're overly alkaline. All those things and the anabolic situation get in the way of proper cellular respiration, where the cells are making energy in a clean way from oxygen getting into the cells. So in the case when you're too anabolic, there's problems with oxygen effectively getting into the cell, but the cell still has to make energy because you're on a treadmill or you're just trying to breathe, and regular metabolic function requires the cells to be making energy all the time. And you'll start to make energy in a dirty way. If you don't have oxygen coming in, it'll still create it, but it starts to create lactic acid as a byproduct. Kind of like a car engine that doesn't pass its smog test. Like, it's still making energy, but it's like putting out all this sooty exhaust. Like, it's very much how the cells are working. When there's not enough oxygen getting in, they start to keep making energy, not as effectively, not as they can't go as fast, but they're also making this metabolic waste product of lactic acid at a rate faster than the body can normally recycle it. So it'll start to put you into a state of metabolic acidosis and get panic attacks, but it's also damaging in a free radical damage kind of way for the cells to be conducting it and making energy in that way.
Right, and here in LA, it's even a worse problem because Everybody points at you and they're like, that guy doesn't even have a Lexus.
Yeah, it's just not even worth it.
Right.
What's he on the road for?
So let's look at a couple things that a person can do if they're an electrolyte deficiency to improve that situation. So what are the things we already talked about? Improving digestion.
Yeah. Add more salts and electrolytes to your diet. Make sure you can digest proteins and fats so you can get stable blood sugar from them.
Take away your diuretics and water consumption.
Don't drink too much distilled reverse osmosis water. Don't sweat too much. And
adding bone broth is a really, really great one.
Yep.
Another one that a person can do right away, and we talk about this in the book a lot, the fat book, is that they can use medium carbs. So since we know carbs are going to thicken the blood and raise blood pressure a little bit, we want them to use some carbs, but not so many that you get that huge spike and crash. So if you can use smaller amounts of medium carbs like sweet potatoes, yams, maybe berries, butternut squash.
Brussels sprouts
is a pretty good one. Things that can supply some carbs without getting that big spike and crash can help a person function a whole lot better right away while you're doing the work to lift your minerals. And as you lift minerals, you may need those things less. You may be able to skip days without, medium carbs. But in the beginning, it's good to give yourself kind of a steady dose to just kind of help everything work better and to function correctly. Okay, so let's go to a couple more questions.
All right, Anne from Holden, Missouri. What foods can we eat to help increase our electrolytes? Will drinking Pedialyte help balance our electrolytes? Seems to me it has too much sugar. I bet it does.
It seems to me that Anne is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't.
And is I thought Pedialyte was for children, is it?
Yeah, but a lot of, older friends, as George calls them, are eating baby food now.
Oh.
Because they're finding that it gives them energy because they don't have to digest it. It's already broken down to this, easy to...
Just another thing to look forward to.
Right, right.
What's my
back
excuse
to baby food
for that, then? Eating blended foods all day.
What's your excuse?
Yeah.
Just because all the cool kids are doing it, maybe?
Okay.
Because you're on the go, Will.
That's true.
You're too busy training all those Hollywood models.
That's true.
So, but yeah, something that's filled with sugar like that is not the solution. It's just going to give you a spike and the crash that comes.
Might as well just eat a candy bar.
A lot worse, right. Which I would prefer because it's not liquid sugar. Mm. Liquid sugar hit harder.
Oh, I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
Oh. So good foods would be like very bioavailable electrolytes, like broths, are excellent at getting your blood pressure and blood sugar and electrolytes up and stable, as are some of the other foods you mentioned earlier, like the sweet potatoes and berries, these slower burning sugars. And in general, salt and trace mineral drops are all good, steady staples to have in your diet if you're dealing with this electrolyte deficient state.
And tomato sauce can... It kind of works a little bit like a sugar in that it pulls calcium out of the tissues to hold in the bloodstream, but not as ferociously as sugar would.
Mm.
So that can help lift blood pressure a little bit, tomato sauce type things. Just find one that doesn't actually have sugar in it. Another thing that a person could eat is, this takes longer that a person needs to fix their bile flow and improve digestion so they can process fats. But once you do that, adding more fats helps your body learn how to burn fat better. So when you run out of glucose, you have another fuel source, and all of a sudden the person can function correctly.
Yeah, and maybe while we're on this question, it would be good to mention also that very high glycemic foods would be a good thing to avoid, like things that spike your blood sugar, like starches, like potatoes and white rice and bread. You may think, like, because we've been told that we're supposed to eat starches and that they're, we've been told that they're like slow, steady burning sources of carbohydrates, that
I don't know what idiot said that.
I don't know. Yeah. But I grew up thinking that, like, oh yeah, like rice and pasta, like, oh, it's like complex carbs that'll just feed, you know, like, they are the worst in this case because they're totally going to spike and drop your blood sugar and make you really hungry again. And if you want to run an experiment on yourself, just try go having like Chinese food. Or you have
you're
a bunch of rice.
An hour later too.
You just ate 3,000 calories, and you're hungry in an hour. And it's
because all the sauces have sugar,
right? And it's just because your blood sugar spiked and dropped. So these, like even things like fruit sugars, even though they're sugars, they burn actually a lot slower than the starches do.
Well, then how come most Asian people are skinny?
Well, they don't eat American Asian food.
Right. That's a whole different. That's a whole different package. Okay. Next question.
All right. Avery, will they ever stay balanced or is this going to be an ongoing battle?
You know, we talked about this when we tried to record the show the first time, but it seems like about half of the electrolyte deficient people see major improvement just adding salt and improving digestion. Their blood pressure comes right up and everything works. And the other half seems to pee out mineral as fast as you dump it in the top. And it seems like they can improve their symptoms greatly by using sea salt, maybe some supplements that lift blood pressure, things to improve digestion, reducing their carb and sugar intake. All those things can improve symptoms amazingly, but their actual blood pressure doesn't come up very much, and it doesn't stay up regularly. And there are some theories of what's, you know, like a post-pituitary gland that is not producing enough of this anti-diuretic hormone that all humans make that kind of makes us not pee out all our minerals. Maybe there's a problem with that. There's a few theories, but it just seems that there's a lot of people that can improve their life and whatever issue they're dealing with greatly, but they have to kind of continue to work at it. They have to continue to use sea salt. They have to kind of continue to maximize their digestion and eat nutrient-rich foods. If they kind of go back to where they were, they'll end up right back where they were.
I think of the clients, at least that I deal with in LA, the ones whose blood pressure doesn't improve are the ones that want to be unreasonably skinny.
And they don't actually eat food supply nutrients.
They'll feel way better the first week or two they're on the program because like they're digesting their food all of a sudden and they're going to the bathroom daily and they're able to like use proteins and fats for fuel. And then they'll stop doing everything because they realize that now they're eating like daily. You know,
right? It's not just a Tuesday thing,
right? No, you know,
where they eat.
So now, and they get afraid that, like, oh, the more calories that they eat, because before they weren't eating often because their digestion was so slow, it wouldn't trigger their hunger. Like they didn't, it would just sit in their stomach for days. So if they had like a chicken nugget, they could be cool until like Friday, you
right,
know.
Right.
But now that there's stomach acid from like, if they're taking HCL or something, now they can eat again and their body asks them to eat again on a regular basis. So they start to like be scared of too many calories and then they'll cut everything out and be, you know, they're not actually going to get fat. They may gain weight because now all of a sudden
the body can build tissue.
Right. They can build bones and muscle and their tissues have water and sugar and salts in them. So you may gain even like several pounds in the first couple of days because all of a sudden now your body's hydrated. That doesn't mean you just got way fatter. It means now your blood pressure's up and blood pressure, like, blood weighs a lot. It's water, you know, it's a heavy fluid. So you need to like not be hyper conscious of like the scale moving in a direction you're afraid of if you're electrolyte deficient, because it probably will go up when you start to correct this issue. What you should pay more attention to if you're really concerned about like not getting fat is maybe do like skin fold tests where you're using calipers so you can
Measure your waist at your belly button and pay attention to what happens with that.
Sure. Like you're,
it kind of seems like what happens is when these people starve themselves is that the body just adapts to the situation, which means it's going to get the nutrients it needs to function anyways, but it starts to get it from you. It's shopping at, you're the 7-Eleven that it's shopping from, and it's breaking down tissue, it's pulling minerals out of bones. all this stuff. So when you take steps to fix digestion and you put real food in your body's like, oh, wait a second, I like that. Let's go with that plan. And it gives you the signal to give me more food because that's the more optimal plan to way to survive. So it kind of switches a person to be hungrier. And then they're complaining like, oh, I'm hungrier, I might gain weight.
Yeah.
But the reality is that's what the body wants. The body wants to eat food.
Yeah. And it's not all just going to go to like fat. You're going to start to be able to do more things like cardio or workout or stay awake.
or not cry.
Remember things.
Right. Yeah. Right. Wait, one more question.
Tracy, can Ormus Ormez, what is it?
It's O-R-M-U-S.
Monoatomic gold.
Oh, okay. Orbitally rearrange monoatomic elements help with electrolyte imbalance. Oh, I get it. There you go. It's an acronym.
Yeah. You didn't.
I didn't realize.
That. Liberate the acronym.
No, I didn't. But she did. She wrote it out too.
So I don't. Have you ever heard of these at all, Will?
Yeah, it's a hippie thing.
It is a hippie thing, and I don't know enough about it to talk about it intelligently, but I will say a few things about that. Okay. That basically it's like a pulverized form of a heavy metal, like gold or silver or something like that, that it makes it more bioavailable, and it seems to be a situation where it can easily be held in suspension. So if something can be held in suspension in the bloodstream, then that's another thing that signals can bounce off of and use to kind of thicken up the blood. However, I have no idea what the downside of any of these are. And the part that bothers me the most is that, like, whoever discovered this, the way that they pitch it to people is that it's magic. And a cat will grow its tail back. And if you use this, you'll be able to read people's minds.
You'll be enlightened for sure.
Right. So that kind of flips me out a little bit. But, you know, there are other compounds like colloidal silver that have been shown to do a lot of good things.
Yeah.
Peyote.
Heroin.
But heavy metals can also accumulate, and I don't know at what point it becomes a problem for these specific ones. I don't have a clue.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge fan of colloidal silver, yeah, but if you take too much, you can turn blue.
Blue?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, blue is not what you want to be.
No, you can silver angina. There's like some YouTube video, if you look at like homemade colloidal silver overdose, you turn physically blue. But at the same time, like it has been shown, because of its conductivity, you can read a really great book called The Body Electric, where they talked about, and they do this in hospitals, they apply colloidal silver gels on burn victims, and it regrows skin and regrows even like ears that were totally burnt off.
Some
like,
of that.
It's pretty fantastic, but you can take too much, and I don't know if the same, I'm pretty sure the same has not been studied of Ormus and monoatomic gold, but there are a lot of claims that it does a lot of great things.
Right, and you know, when you look at the body, there's a lot of people that talk about heavy metal overload and toxicity issues creating mental and emotional problems. And when they talk about it, they say that the best way to get the minerals out of the metals out of the body is to put more mineral in the body, because it seems that when there's not enough mineral, when the metals go in, the body really holds onto them, I guess, to help signals travel better in it. But as they accumulate, it becomes toxic. But that just kind of gives an indication of, you know, that there must be some validity to metals helping signals travel and things function better. But we know that there is a downside.
And it really becomes like a metal, like you can see it, or
but you
is
can't
it just
pull like a door hinge out of your
make a ring. Out
yeah,
of it.
Right. You can't.
What are you talking about? Like in the
like if you have heavy metal overload or toxicity, if like it came out of your body, would you really actually see?
Well, it's
like
a very
metal?
Tiny amount.
Yeah, but still.
No, you couldn't. It's you not couldn't, like, I'll save this, and when another one comes out, I'll build a model.
Yeah.
You know,
make a computer.
It's not like that. It's just like an iron overload. Iron is a heavy metal, and so it just accumulates and becomes a stress to the body because it's at a too high of a level.
Gotcha.
Can create inflammation and all those kind of things. So Let's just quickly summarize because we're pretty much done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the recorder seemed to work, so
let's not do this show again. We're not finished yet.
So, electrolyte deficiency, if someone's dealing with one, what are the first steps that they want to take to improve the situation?
Well, they want to monitor their blood pressure and make sure like that's what's going on. If it's low, then it's a good indication that you are dealing with that. And the main steps to fix it usually involve improve your digestion. So go through our free digestive issues course at kickinthenuts.com and figure out what's off in your digestion, if anything. Learn to eat usually small, frequent meals is a good call in a way that keeps blood sugar balanced. So you have some proteins and fats at each meal once you fix your digestion. Include more salts and electrolyte-rich fluids like trace mineral drops and actual salt added to your food.
And unrefined salt is really where you want to go to get increased mineral levels.
Yeah. Be sure not to sweat too much. Like, don't go into hot baths and hot saunas and hot yoga just because you heard it was cool. Try to conserve your electrolytes. And
you may even need to reduce the amount of water that you drink initially until you qualify to drink more
water.
Would
even like a hot shower hurt you as an electrolyte deficient?
Don't look at it as hurt you.
Well, I mean, but to be taking more out of you.
You don't need to take a cold shower. Yeah. You take don't just stand in the shower and sweat a ton for a long time.
20, 30 minutes.
Right.
Don't do that anyway.
Yeah, we're in a drought.
So I think those are the main things.
Yeah, I think we did it. All right, good luck.
All right, y'all. Good luck on your voyage. Okay, if you want to learn more about how to look at your own body chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. You can also head on over to Will Schmidt's page, mybodyofknowledge.net. That's My Body of Knowledge on Facebook, and then his mybodyofknowledge.net is his website. And if you want to become a health coach, go to healthprocourse.com to learn more about how to become a health coach.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Later.